ironically, this was the one that we did in Treasure Island not too long ago. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Thank you, Mark. Let's pray together. God, we're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for the chance that we have to gather this morning and learn. We pray that you would teach us and you would grow us. In Christ's name, amen. We have a lot of Christmas cards hanging up at our house, and one of the famous Christmas words that you see on Christmas cards is the word peace. Our verse says, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace on earth. So a lot of people wish us peace at Christmas time. And we accomplish very little by simply wishing each other peace, don't we? Peace is not something I can just wish you and then you have it. In fact, if you look around, there's not a lot of peace in this world, is there? There's not a lot of peace in this world. Of course, on the news, we see terrorism and we see war and we see political and social upheaval. We see racism and we see all kinds of unrest in the United States and around the world. So we see a lack of peace in general, but then on a smaller level, of course, we see it in our own lives and in the lives of the people we care about. Just within us and our families and our friendships, there's a lot of brokenness, isn't there? There's a lot of personal conflict, there's a lot of divorce, there's a lot of broken relationships, there's a lot of trouble within families, there's a lot of trouble within coworkers, there's a lot of distrust, there's a lot of jealousy, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of bitterness, there's a lot of surface level niceness. But underneath, we still haven't forgiven people. We still don't quite trust each other. And then beyond what's actually there, there's a whole bunch of stuff we imagine as well, right? And we wonder what people might be thinking of us. We get mad at them for thinking what they must be thinking, even though we're not sure that they're actually thinking it. We struggle to be at peace with each other. We struggle to be at peace within ourselves. We have a lot of anxiety. And maybe it's not even with other people. It's are we going to have enough money? Are we going to have enough health? We struggle with these kinds of things. We battle depression. We battle loneliness. We battle actual physical sickness. We want to feel at peace. We want to experience peace, but sometimes it feels like we're never going to quite get there. How do we get there? We know we can't just put it on a Christmas card and give it to each other and then we've got it. That doesn't work. This verse, we're only going to look at one verse. My plan this morning was try to preach a sermon that was less than 30 minutes long. So I decided to do that. I probably should only focus on one verse. So we'll see how this goes. So the verse I really want to focus on this morning is a theology snapshot. It gives us the whole story of the Bible, and it gives us in one sentence. The angels say to them in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." There you have the message of the Bible in a snapshot, a quick take theology. The angels are telling us here, peace does not come by itself. Peace is always part of a package deal. And the other part of the package is always glory to God. If we are not glorifying God with our lives, we will not be at peace. If we are not people who are bent on God receiving glory, if we're not bent on God being the famous one, if we're not bound and determined that God is going to be the one who is seen as magnificent, God is the one who is going to be seen as all-important, if we're not those people, then we are not going to experience glory. We are glory thieves. We are glory thieves. We should be thinking, as a collective group, we should be thinking, how can we band together with all of creation and worship and celebrate the God who created us and holds us together? Without him, we would not exist. He is the eternal fountain of love and joy and holiness and goodness. So the only thing that makes sense is for all of us to band together and worship and enjoy him forever. That should be what drives us. That should be what wakes us up every morning. But that seems very foreign to us, doesn't it? We're glory thieves. We want God to band together with his creation and worship us, meet our needs, make us to be the most important thing going. We want our desires fulfilled. We want people to know and love and value and celebrate us, me. Our sin nature, one of the terrible things about our sin nature is that makes us not care if people are impressed with God. We mostly want people to be impressed with us. So this is why we're not at peace. The angels are very clear here. Peace comes when God is glorified. When people see God as magnificent and God as worthy, that's when we will also experience peace. They give us another little hint when they say, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Because in our natural sinful state, God is not pleased with us. He is not pleased with our glory thieving. So this is why the birth of Jesus Christ is what they tell the shepherds. It's good news of great joy. It is, Jesus is our Savior. We need a Savior. We deserve to die for our glory thieving. We actively take the life and the breath and the strength that God has given us, and we use it to disregard him, to disobey him, to dishonor him. The only worthwhile punishment, the only right, holy punishment for offending a right, holy God is death. So in this wonderful work of grace, as part of this wonderful eternal plan, Jesus came to die for us. He lived a perfect life, always living for God's glory, always bent on God the Father receiving glory. And then he went willingly to die on that cross. He was a perfect, spotless lamb. There's no way that we could send anyone else to come between us and God. There's no other mediator we could send. There's no other go-between we could send. God's holiness rightfully demands a perfect mediator. There's no other messenger we could send. And that mediator had to be much more than a messenger. He had to pay the price for our sin. So that's what Christ did in dying for us. Apart from Christ, God is not pleased with us. There is no peace for us because God is not pleased with us. There's a deep, unbreakable hostility between God and man without Christ. With Christ, though, the package deal of glory and peace has been restored. With Christ, we now can live lives that glorify God. When God evaluates us, now, positionally, we are considered to be covered with the righteousness of Christ. We bring glory to God simply by being covered in the righteousness of Christ. And then beyond that, in his work on the cross, Christ has given us new hearts. He has given us hearts that now, by his grace, by his Spirit, desire to glorify God, to make God be the most worthwhile thing going, to God be the most impressive person, for God to be the one who gets all the glory. Now, we don't get this right every day. We're far from perfect, but our hearts now desire to celebrate and honor and magnify the one who created us and saved us by his mercy. If you don't feel that within your heart, if you don't have this desire in you, I'm not saying you always follow this desire and always feel like you get this right every time, but if you don't have the desire in your heart for God to be glorified, then you need to do some serious soul searching to see if you truly are trusting Christ, if God's Spirit has truly done a work of regeneration in you. Because this is a mark of the Christian, isn't it? Not that we're perfect, but that we're growing day by day, year by year, in this intent desire to magnify God. Living for God's worth and God's supreme weightiness. That's what glory means. His great value, his great weightiness, his great worth. That becomes a far more better life than simply living for our own glory. And now, because God is getting more and more glory from our lives, we are getting the other part of the package deal that the angels say here when they announce the birth of Christ. We're experiencing more and more and more of his peace. This, of course, starts with peace with God. And this is far more than just a feeling, like you feel at peace. This is a concrete reality. We're at peace with God. We were enemies. We're now friends. So the warm fuzzies about how we feel about life, they come and go. But now I know, I have a concrete knowledge that God is no longer angry with me. He now rejoices over me because of the work of Christ. So when I say I want you to know the peace of God, I don't mean I want you to be filled with warm fuzzies. Those come and go. If you have warm fuzzies, that's awesome. Unless it's like some sort of rash, then you need to get rid of it. But if you have like, you know, good feelings, that's great. But those come and go. I want you to know God is not against you. God is for you. God is pleased with you. I want you to know it in such a way that you stop trying to impress everyone else and stop worrying about what everybody else thinks and constantly evaluating yourself and looking for compliments or melting down with criticism. I want you to know that because of the gospel, God is happy with you. He always will be. I want you to know that peace with God. And that will work its way into peace within ourselves and peace with others. If God is becoming more and more impressive to us, if we're seeing him as more and more in control and all wise and all caring and all loving, if we get this bigger and bigger and bigger understanding of who God is, we start to breathe a little bit easier. The other day, I try not to use good examples of my wife because it embarrasses her. and I try not to use bad examples either, just because that's not nice. And so, but I'm gonna use a good example of my wife, and you're just gonna have to, she's gonna have to deal with it. The other day, it happened right when I was writing the sermon, so that's just, it's her fault. She shouldn't have been good on the day I was writing my sermon. The other day she was sick, and she couldn't talk. Which is, it's funny, you know, just when someone can't talk, they're trying to talk and they can't. It's funny because Pete is there, and you can barely hear yourself over him anyhow, even on a good day. But of course, he loves it when mom can't talk. And it's really hard to homeschool Eden when you can't talk and take, it's hard, it's bad. And so I was kind of babying her, you know, and asking, I said, you know, what can I get you? What do you need? And she says, in sort of a hoarse voice, she says, I need to know that this is God's plan for my day today. I'm like, well, you can be the pastor then. I meant, can I get you some Tylenol or something? So anyhow, and of course, did she actively pursue that all day long? No, she went up and down. But that's what she needs, right? I mean, good health doesn't give us peace. More money doesn't give us peace. It doesn't. To have nobody against us, to have no conflicts in our relationships, that will not bring us peace. What brings us peace is knowing who God is. Good theology brings us peace. Understanding that God is in control and God loves us more than we love each other and more than we love ourselves, and he always does exactly what we would do for us if we knew everything he knew. This is the, I think, as I study Scripture and as I think about how Scripture applies to my life, and so maybe this isn't exactly true for you, but as I think about it, the best way for me to glorify God, because we wonder about that sometimes, what does it mean to glorify God with our lives? What do we go around? We wear t-shirts that say God is awesome, or what do we do? How do we glorify God with our lives? It's kind of a vague thing. I think one of the primary ways the Bible teaches us that we can bring glory to God 24/7 is to trust him. To trust that he is in control and he is good. And to live life out of that understanding. The people that I know, I thought of two people as I was writing the sermon, and I thought of two people that just, they always seem to be at peace. I mean, I'm sure they're not always at peace, and I'm sure they're not always as unflappable as they seem like they are. But they always seem to, and those two people, the first few people who came to my mind, they have just this huge view of the sovereignty of God. They just, everything they say, it just reminds me that they know that God is in control and that he is good, and he's taking care of them. He'll work out the details. He's good. He's got it. And they just have this calm, gentle way of always living in that. And whenever I spend time with them, I think, God is huge. God is big. God is good. God loves us. This is where they're just able to relax. They're able to be at peace. It doesn't mean living for the glory of God and trusting God and having a big view of God does not mean we won't have any conflict. We may have more conflict, right? If we're going to be people who hold to the word of God and just believe what it says, we're going to probably find more conflict than we otherwise would have probably. But we can do what Paul says, which is as best as we can, as far as we are able, to live peaceably with one another. We can be quick to forgive. We can be quick to ask for forgiveness. We can be willing to tell the truth. We can be willing to confess sin. We can be willing to try to mend brokenness. God's glory will motivate us, and his grace sustains us, so we're not clingy people who need each other and just fall apart if there's any kind of conflict, but we're also not apathetic. We can just freely love each other and as much as possible live peaceably with each other. This is what we need this morning. We don't need more money. We don't need more stuff. We don't need more physical health. We don't. We need to know the peace that God gives to those with whom he is pleased, to those with whom the gospel has changed them from the inside out, and now they are people who, they don't nail it every day, but they want the glory of God. They're living for the glory of God. They're trusting in his wisdom, in his power, in his control, in his grace. It's more important to them that his name and his power be known rather than their name and their power. So these angels, they give us a snapshot this morning. They give us a snapshot. They say, glory to God and peace among those with whom he is pleased. This is a package deal. There are so many people, and we know them, they want that feeling of peace. They want that peace within themselves. They want to, inside of themselves, they want to just be at rest and not be anxious and not be bitter and not worry so much about what the person next to them has or doesn't have or has said or hasn't said. They want to just not worry about all that stuff. Just live. But it's so hard. And we tend to think that if we just had a little bit better job, a little bit more money, a little bit better friends, a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, then we'd get there. We'd get there. We're so close we could get there. And the Bible says, no. No, 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 no. That's idolatry. That's running to something besides God for what only God can give. And this is what Christmas is all about. Christmas is Jesus showing up to smash our idols, change our heart, and to change us into worshipers. Let's be thankful. Let's trust in the God who, under great duress for himself, under great pain to himself, came and rescued us from our glory thieving. And he did so for his fame and for our peace. Let's be thankful. Let's trust him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for the chance that we have, even though this is a hectic day for many of us, and there's many things going on this weekend and these days and these weeks, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. We thank you, God, that we could come just together for a few minutes and to remember that you are, that one of the many things Christmas reminds us is that you are supremely trustworthy, and you are supremely glorious. Let's live our lives trusting you, and let's be glad to tell others where our peace comes from, and let's be glad to tell others, God, please help us to be joyfully intentional about telling others of your glory and the peace that you offer to your Son. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.